Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Shake it up, baby.
Shake it up, baby.
Twist and shout.
Twist and shout.
Come on, baby.
Come on, baby.
We're back. 12 after. Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, having more fun than the law allows in our nation's capital, beautiful downtown Washington, D.C. I'm actually kind of, a little bit to the, would that be to the west, Joan Pride? Am I to the west or the south of D.C.? I always forget Georgetown.
You mean in Georgetown?
Yeah, in Georgetown.
Well, I think you're in the southwest.
Southwest. It's southwest.
Sort of southwest. But see, there's a quadrant of D.C. called southwest, and you're not there. Technically,
I know.
You're still in the northwest quadrant, but in the southern part of it. Isn't that simple?
I'm the southwest of the northwest, folks.
Yeah, exactly.
And now we've got all that squared away, Joan Pride, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Joan
How are
Pride,
you enjoying Washington
gentlemen?
Again?
Senior editor with the Kipling Editors. Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed dropping by. Thanks for letting me drop by your office yesterday. It was good to see all the folks there, Ken Dalecki and Jim Ostroff and Rich Salmon and some of the folks that that have filled in for you. And
your whole staff was here.
Yeah, right. And they were pretty excited about seeing me, too, weren't they?
They at least appeared to be. They pretended to be.
Well, I don't think they pretended. It's like a dream come true for
you
them.
Think that was genuine? Okay.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
When the high priest of small business shows up, you know they got to be excited about that. Hey, Joan, did you know that on this day in 1965, and this will be a big surprise to you, French President Charles de Gaulle announced that France was going to withdraw from NATO to protest the domination of the U.S. in NATO.
Where have we heard that before?
Now, here's my question.
That kind of attitude.
Here's my question. What if we, you know, what if we had not, what if we weren't the kind of country to be dominant in 1942 or in 1918? What if we hadn't been the kind of country that would use our power for, you know, right makes might, I think it is.
I can tell you.
What? Okay, tell me.
Well, the French and the Americans would all be speaking German right now.
They wouldn't be drinking Chardonnay. They'd be drinking Liefermilch, wouldn't they?
That's right. They'd be drinking Blue Nun, yeah.
That's exactly Blue Nun. That's exactly right. But, you know, I don't know what we're going to do with those guys. Oh, but here's another one, John. I got to tell you this one. On this day in 1776, the Second Continental Congress officially named the United Colonies the United States. How about
wow.
that?
Wow.
This is the day.
That's pretty exciting.
It's not our birthday, folks, but it's the birthday of our name.
Yeah.
And that's pretty
cool.
Exciting. So my buttons are, my chest out a little bit more, and my buttons are kind of popping off a little bit here.
Good.
And maybe that, and of course, that's the kind of thing that makes the French mad, because that makes me look dominant, right?
Right. You swaggering American.
There you go. Joan, one of the things that's not in the letter this week, I'm sure it will be in the coming week, is in the next edition, is what's coming up tomorrow. And that is the anniversary, the third anniversary of 9-1-1.
That's right.
And by the way, folks, we're going to do a show on that with the upcoming show is going to be, Steve Forbes is going to be with us to talk to us about that. Ed Yordan is going to be with us. He's a New York City resident. And also Hector Barreto is going to be with us, the administrator of the SBA, with other things on his mind, but also we're going to get his thoughts on 9-1-1, because what part of his division, part of the division of, one of the divisions of his organization, the SBA, is disaster relief. So we're going to get his thoughts, and that's a whole show that we're going to do tomorrow on the anniversary of 9-1-1. But Joan, what's going to be happening in our nation's capital on that day? Because obviously Washington, D.C., was part of the tragedy of 9-1-1.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what's going to be happening, but I'm sure there'll be a commemoration for the folks who lost their lives at the Pentagon.
Yeah. How many was that, counting the folks in the airplane? What was it, 170 or 80 or so?
I think so. I know. I remember the total as being, you know, along with New York, as being
just under 3.
Pardon me?
Just under 3,000.
Right. I was going to say around 3,000.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was just under 200 maybe in Washington, but still terrible tragedy, and but even if it is possible to be beyond that, the fact that we were attacked on our own soil by some evil folks, but only 19. It only took 19 people to kill 3,000.
And scary to think about it.
Well, you know, Joan, I've been saying since 9/11 is this: evil is easier to leverage than good.
Ooh.
And those guys proved that, didn't they?
No question about it.
Those 19 terrorists, and it changed the world, didn't it? I mean, it changed the world, and that change began here, didn't it?
But I think, you know, we also have to be grateful we live in this country, and I'm not saying this to brag in any way, but it really struck me when I was reading about the horrible things that are going on in Russia right now. They interviewed a man in the street who said, you know, you don't see this in the United States. Look at what they did there. You know, there was a terrorist attack, and there hasn't been one since then. They're protecting their people. And, you know, the society rose up and made sure it did its best to be safe. And
well,
He was complaining that in his society that has not occurred, and that's why they're having attack after attack after attack.
One after the other. And, well, that's an excellent point. And the thing that he did that a lot of people in America aren't doing is he recognized that with all of our faults and with all of the rough edges of Homeland Security and of making ourselves safe, and there are some rough edges, and there have been some bumps, and there have been some mistakes. With all of those rough edges, as he said, we haven't been attacked again.
Right, but I think we're too close to it. I think it took someone who was that far away to see that about us.
Well, there also are those people, though, Joan, who like to blame America first. There's a whole cadre of people out there, and you know that, don't you? I mean, that's...
Oh, sure.
They want to blame America first, and they're always trying to find out, you know, the glass is always half empty. And you know what I say to those people?
What?
I can't say it on this show. What I
oh,
say to
okay.
Yeah,
then
it's a
don't.
Family show, so I can't do that. But anyway, if it would translate properly on the radio, I'd give them a raspberry. But that would be rude on the radio. But anyway, Joan, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the campaign. You guys have got some good stuff. And what about this map?
Yeah, I want to talk about that map.
That is a beautiful map, folks.
Don't give anything away yet. I want to talk about it.
If you don't get the Kiplinger letter, you've missed it this week. And if it's somehow, if they subscribe right now, could they get this in email by email? Could they have access in color? If you got a color screen, you ought to be able to see. You're going to see this map, folks. It's beautiful. And I'm going to have mine framed. Stay with us. 20 after. Right back with Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors.
On the road again, I'm on the road again. I ain't got no woman just to call my special friend.
Great song, Joan.
Since I don't,
they just don't make songs
like that
anymore, Joan.
Where did you get this stuff?
Hmm?
Hey,
that's
from
my library.
Like 1945?
That's from my personal library.
Oh.
That's a magnificent
song. You're older than
song.
I thought.
Well, I'm maybe my tastes are, but that's what a great song. They don't make that anymore. Joan Pride, ladies
There's
and gentlemen.
There's a reason for that, too.
hey. Don't be tacky. There are a lot of people who like that. Now, they're all a little long in the tooth, like me, but that's a great old song. Anyway, Joan Pride is here, folks. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and we're going to talk about this map, Joan, that's on the front page, page one, I should say, of the Kiplinger letter this week.
Okay, now hold it
Beautiful.
Right there.
Okay.
Now, for your listeners, I want you to describe for them the colors of the map.
Well, they're kind of a shocking orangey red.
Yeah.
And a slate blue.
Very good.
How about
I'm
that?
Impressed.
See,
now,
I even know what periwinkle looks like. It's not periwinkle.
Would you like to know something?
Yes, I would.
Well, on the if you look at the map, I know that I don't think you have access to a computer right now, but if
I
you
do.
Were to look at
I,
the
but
map
I do have.
On the computer,
uh-huh.
the orangey red is actually a brownish rust color.
Oh.
And the carry color is very blue.
Huh.
Maybe carry blue, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think there is a carry blue.
Yeah, well, there is.
Oh, there is? Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
It's like Irish blue or something.
Oh, okay, I got you. All right. But what it just didn't translate. But the effect is the same. I mean, it's, the contrast is what is the key.
Yes.
Not so much the color, it's the contrast is the key. But folks, this is a magnificent map. And Joan, it shows something that you guys point out here, and that you know that every any politician, any presidential candidate needs 270 electoral votes to win. You point out that the blue states for Kerry are now total about 205. Those are the ones that he basically have locked up. And then Bush has his, doesn't he?
Right. Bush has 201. And so they're
those
pretty
are the
much
red
in
ones.
A dead... I'm sorry?
Those are the red ones.
Right. And they're pretty much in a dead heat because they both need 270. And
right.
The toss-up states total 132. So there's, you know, plenty of room to maneuver here. But it's just interesting to me. You asked me yesterday who I thought might win the election. And I'm at the point where I don't have a clue.
Yeah.
One day Kerry's up, the next day Bush is up, and then you look at this map and you think, wow, this is really a dead heat.
Well, here's what's interesting. By the way, is this Bush red? If it's Kerry blue,
maybe
is that
it
Bush
is.
Red?
Maybe it is.
Well, here's the interesting thing to me now. One of the things I'm noticing right away on this map is that New Hampshire, which went for Bush last time, is now in the blue for Kerry.
Yeah, that's interesting to me.
And Maine, which went for Gore, and I don't know if I said Gore. I meant to say Gore for New Hampshire. Yeah, that's right. It was Bush last time,
yeah.
And now you've got it for Kerry. But last time, Maine, as I remember, went for Gore, and now you have it as a toss-up. Pennsylvania
right.
went for Gore, you have it as a toss-up. Michigan yeah. and Wisconsin went for Gore, you have it as a toss-up.
Yeah.
Didn't Ohio went for Bush last time, didn't it?
I believe so, because I think there's some statistic that, you know, no Republican in X number of years has won the White House without taking Ohio.
Right, exactly.
And that's where those 359 people are, you know.
Well, actually, I think some of them are in Missouri, too.
Okay.
And there are two of them are in Michigan, I think.
Okay.
But Florida, one of the things, as you guys point out, Florida has 27 electoral votes, and it's even though it went for Bush last time, you still call it a toss-up.
Well, and I'm glad. You know, we called that a toss-up even before the hurricanes. And I think the hurricanes, I think that they could cause this to really go either way, depending on how the cleanup goes and whether people can even get to the polls, whether they credit the president with giving them aid or whether they, you know, fairly or unfairly blame him for not giving them enough aid. I mean, Florida could be a real crazy state this time.
Well, and don't forget, there's a hat trick. Hurricane out in the Gulf right now.
Ivan,
who according one between hours, I clicked on the Weather Channel just to see what was going on, and it looks like the center of the proposed track is right up over the west coast of Florida.
Oh no!
So that's a really I mean my goodness, and that's going to be next week that it'll make landfall there if it does that. Of course, it could go anywhere, but you know that's. That's just too much.
I know.
And as you say, you know, and you're exactly right. I mean, how could anybody, I mean, Florida is really, it's like last time, it's Florida is going to be pivotal in this election. How could anybody have predicted three hurricanes?
That's right. I mean, and they interviewed one person in one of these articles saying, you know, I don't have time to go vote. I'm busy, you know, pulling my life back together.
Well,
and
in some places, those polling places may not be there.
That's a good point. And how do you get the information to the people about whatever alternate polling place that is developed? Or do you get them absentee ballots? You know, that's another whole question.
Yeah, and I'll remind you of something I've said a few times on the show. I'm going to quote a quote from Steve Forbes, who, by the way, is going to be on the show tomorrow, folks, talking about 911. And that is what Prime Minister McMillan said when an aide said, what's going to determine this next election between him and Churchill? And he told the aide, events, my dear boy, events. And it looks like that may be a big part of this election this time. Quick break, 29 after Joan Pride is our guest. She and I will be right back. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, and we're visiting with one of my worshippers, Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Right, Joan?
I heard that. You're testing me to see if I'm paying attention. I was paying attention.
I hear you. But thank you for restraining yourself, by the way.
It was
Joan
hard.
Pride, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And folks, I encourage you to check out their website at kiplinger.com. And if you do, if they go today, can they see the map?
Oh, yes, they can.
They got to be a subscriber, though, don't they?
I believe so, yes.
But you can get the 30-day free trial and go see the map. Folks, this
sure
is worth... It's worth taking the 30-day free trial so that you can get the map and print it out. They can print it out, too, because they can download the letter, can't they?
Absolutely. If they've got a color printer, they can get the colorful map in hard copy.
Seriously, folks, this is a map that you're going to want to track as you go into the election. I said I was going to have mine framed. I was only somewhat teasing. I am going to hang on to it and pin it up on the wall or something, so I can keep up with this. This is an important map to pay attention to as the campaigns evolve. But so folks, don't forget Kiplinger.com, KIPLINGER.com, 30-day free trial. You can get the letter. You can get any of the letters. The weekly Kiplinger letter, which is the flagship, which is about to have an 81st birthday. Right, Joan?
Boy, I can't even believe that.
2 weeks. Kiplinger, the man, the patriarch, the son of the founder of Kiplinger.
He's
going to do the show right here on this show. We're going to do the Kiplinger letter with us that week in celebration of their anniversary. But also they've got three biweeklies, the tax letter, the California letter, and the agriculture letter. And then they got a magazine. Joan, tell us about that one.
That's right. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And while you're doing it, give us the phone number.
Absolutely. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
Go ahead and get that 30-day free trial, folks, and get this map printed out. I think you'll like it. Joan, the campaigns are starting to, I don't know if I could say they should say they're heating up because they're already pretty white hot.
Yeah.
But the tenor is changing a little bit, isn't it? Something that happened, I think, this week, and I'm going to actually see him today. Paul Begala is going to be on the stage there. I'll be on right after him doing my thing for the U.S. Chamber today at their small business conference. Paul Begala and Newt Gingrich are going to be debating the campaigns.
Paul Begala and Newt Gingrich?
Yes.
Ooh,
yes. That's
going to
be going on right after the show, a little bit after the show. I'll be going down there for that, and then I'll be doing my panel after that. But my point is, I think just this week it's been announced that Begala has been hired by the Kerry campaign.
As has Stan Greenberg, the pollster who worked for Clinton. And I believe James Carville is going to go help out, too. So
they're
it's like
pulling
the whole gang getting back together.
They're pulling out all stops.
Yeah.
But here's my prediction, Joan. If we thought things were nasty before, now that Paul Begala and Carville are involved, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Well, I think we've seen plenty with Mr. Rove. Mr. Carl Rove is the nastiest of the nasties.
You think he's nastier than Begala and
I think he could out nasty just about anything.
No, Joan.
Yeah.
Oh, contraire, mon chéri.
Well, of course you don't think that because he's more insidious.
Well, that's part of his charm. Part of his charm. That's right. But anyway, it is going to get interesting. But Mr. Carey has been taking the gloves off himself, hasn't he? His own self, as they say.
Well, some of us would say not enough.
Well, no, his campaigns, a lot of Democrats have been critical of him taking so long to respond, haven't they?
Right, that's exactly right.
But he's doing that now, so it's going to be interesting. Do you think the negative? I've heard people say that negative campaigning does work. How far should they go, though, Joan?
Well, it really does, and when they interview the man on the street, he'll always say, "Oh, I hate these negative ads. You know, they should stop that and focus on the issues." But every time you get these series of negative ads, sure enough, the person who's supposed to benefit from them does.
Yeah. What about the debates, Joan? How big a deal
are they? Oh, I think they're going to be huge. I think they're going to be very pivotal.
I think those are the only events that we can predict will happen and that will be pivotal. Don't you agree?
Oh, I see what you're saying, right, as opposed to a hurricane,
events,
right.
Well, or terrorism or something else that might happen. God forbid anybody has any kind of medical problem. I mean, who knew 10 days ago that Bill Clinton was going to have quadruple bypass surgery?
Right.
You know, that'll teach him That'll teach him to eat all those Big Macs, won't it?
That's right.
Quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit of health care. We're going to talk a little bit about the economy and energy and other things with our good friend Joan Pride. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joan Pride is our guest, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, the debates is what I'm trying to say. The debates coming up. We still don't know. I think we know that there's going to be one debate between the VPs.
From what I've read, there's going to be one debate between the VPs. I just read this the other day, and it looks like they were trying to do three between Bush and Kerry, but the Bush camp has axed one of those debates, so it's looking like it's probably going to be two.
Okay, that was the news I didn't know. I knew that there was a debate about whether it was going to be two debates, or they were having a debate about the debates.
Right, exactly. Now, there's just
two
a little item I saw a couple of days ago.
And I think that's smart for the Bush campaign.
Oh, yeah.
I think Bush will...
Bush, I'd debate as little as possible.
Well, now, he did pretty good with the Gore camp. I guess I shouldn't say he did as well as Gore did badly. Maybe that's the way the best way
well,
to put it.
Well, he didn't talk about the lockbox.
Yeah, that's... And he didn't look wooden like Gore did, but...
Right.
But
yeah.
How do you think it's going to go? How do you think the debates are going to go between Mr. Kerry and Mr. Bush?
Well, I think that it's going to be attack, 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 probably.
By both? Well, hopefully we'll have this military mess out of the way where we'll kind of get some things stipulated. Maybe that won't come up.
You've got some stuff coming out about Bush now. You know, new records are coming out that had been lost. So I think that's just going to kind of fuel everything.
Fuel it up. And, of course, we have records from Mr. Kerry that he won't release. And so maybe I hope that the debate can be about issues and not about Vietnam.
Right.
I really hope that can work out. Joan, let's move on down and talk about one of the things that you guys point out this week is that Secretary Powell will probably leave office as the Secretary of State if Bush is reelected.
Yeah, and this is there's been no falling out. This is not shocking news. I think he always planned to leave after the first term.
Yeah. You know why I think he's going to do that?
Why?
To get ready for 2008.
Oh, you think Powell might run? Ooh,
I don't know why he wouldn't. Mm. He says he doesn't want to run. He wasn't ready to run last time. I think he looked around and he said, well, you know, we got Bush here. He's going to, he's still a horse. Of course, now, you know, one of the things, Secretary Powell is about 64, 65 years old, too. That's another point.
Oh.
You know, I don't know if you knew that. I saw his birthday the other day and it surprised me. He was born in like 36 or 7 or something like
wow.
that.
Wow.
Yeah, he's in his mid-60s, which surprised me. I thought he was more closer to 60. But anyway, I think he'd be a good candidate for president, don't you?
Oh, sure.
Let's move on down.
Well, there's a lot of folks vying for that that will be vying for that on both sides in 2008.
Well, let me put it this way. If he's not a candidate for president, he will be on the short list for VP for the Republicans, won't he?
I don't know that he would want that, though.
I'm not saying he would want it.
I'd
I'm just saying he'd be on the short list.
I think he would, sure.
Yeah. Let's move on down and talk about health care, Joan. There's some new drugs. You guys are reporting that there's some new drugs out right now, some news on health care costs, I should say, for employees and consumers. Generic drugs are coming to the market faster. That's a good thing, isn't it?
Oh, this is very important. And as you know, generics are important because when patents expire, they come on the market and drive down the price of these drugs. And we're saying an anticonvulsant drug called Ivax is coming on the market, and it's used for a lot of different things like pain and other symptoms, so that sounds good.
And maybe could help you get through one of our shows, right? So,
boy, I could sure use it.
Sometimes
we've got we've also got an antidepressant coming up that's a generic for Paxil, and one this would be great, the generic for Prilosec. I know I don't take it, but I know someone who does, and it's very expensive.
Yeah, it is. You know, Joan, we've had so many miracle drugs invented, developed in the last 10 or so years.
Right.
That have been very expensive. Your parents have, your mother's used them. My parents have,
right.
And it's just been so expensive for them, and so there are going to be a wave of really miracle drugs that are going to be genericized soon, and that's a good thing for a lot of folks, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm ready for that.
Yeah, Joan, home prices. You guys say that the long housing rally may be ending. What's up with that?
Well, this is a tough one because we're not saying that the whole country is going to go into a housing decline, but we think that some areas are going to be vulnerable, and those are the ones that I think had, you know, the most insane price appreciation, and I think we're looking mainly in the California and Nevada area.
Right. And Fort Lauderdale. You also mentioned Miami and Fort
right.
Lauderdale. But these
right.
are places that might actually have a little bit of deflation in prices rather than inflation. And, Joan, is that basically a little bit of a bursting of a bubble?
Well, we say no. I mean, there may be a bursting of local bubbles, but we say
that's what
that,
I mean. I don't think there's a national bubble, but I do think there's some regional
right.
bubbles.
Right. Well, and those will be bursting. But I guess what I like the way we put this now in our turn of phrase here. A bit of air is escaping from a somewhat overinflated market.
You just can't get that kind of language anywhere else, folks. You've got to go to Kiplinger.
But no, but you think about the idea. If you let a little bit of the air out, then you don't have something bursting in the end.
Right, right. So it's a controlled deflation of the bubble, is that,
right.
of the balloon,
a calmer
right?
market, as we say.
Right. Well, Joan, I noticed that there's nothing in here about Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised.
Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, it's an artificial economy, Joan.
Always has been.
Because the government is here. It's an artificial economy. And it'll be interesting. I wonder how hardly the guys looked at Washington. Because all the things that you said about real estate being, you know, going nuts over the last few years, Washington, D.C. has got to be at the top of that list.
It's got to be the nutsiest. Although I feel as if things are calming down just a tiny bit. Because I'm seeing more for sale signs. So there's more houses
more inventory,
on the market.
Huh? Stand by. Quick break. Intel, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't forget to check out my website when you get a chance, jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. I think you'll like it. If you don't, it's easier to unsubscribe. And this subscribe, you actually do it yourself. You can subscribe yourself and unsubscribe. We make it easy for you either way, and I think you'll like it. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and we're talking about the most recent Kiplinger letter. Joan, when you leave here today, we won't talk to you for, what, 3 weeks?
Wow, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself.
Yeah, because you're going to be gone on vacation next week.
That's right.
And then Mr. Kiplinger is going to sit in for you the week after.
You're kicking me off the show the next week.
Well, but the good news is, Joan, I'm not going to dock your pay.
Oh, gee, I was worried.
You're going to get the same pay envelope you've always gotten.
Good, I don't have to cancel my vacation.
There you go. Yeah, no, in fact, I'll go ahead and send it a little early so you'll have a little extra walking around.
Send me that empty envelope. I'm looking forward to it.
Joan, let's talk about energy. This is an event. This is kind of an insidious event that could happen or that could have an effect on the presidential election. The gas prices are actually coming down a little bit, and if they continue to decline, it'll sort of take it off the table a little bit as an annoying negative for President Bush and for people who might support him. But if it goes the other way, if oil prices go back up and hover, you know, in the high 40s or $50 area where they have been in the last 30 days, that could be an issue in the election, couldn't it?
Well, I tell you, they're going to have to come down quite a bit in order for people to feel some relief, because they're below, in my area, they're below $2 a gallon right now, but they're still at $1.92, so that's not much different.
No, I agree with, but at least the, I guess what I was getting at is as petroleum has gone closer to $50 a barrel, it's not only been oppressive, it's gotten to the point where it's been shocking almost to go up to that level.
Right. Well, that's true. Yeah.
So maybe there won't be, it won't be shocking. It'll be just something we're just not happy about. But
right.
Let's talk about this liquefied natural gas issue, because one of the issues that coming up in this winter is having heating oil and heating gas for our houses.
Right, and this is kind of interesting. Now, I guess this item that we've written is looking at things more long-term, because I think, at this point, I think supplies here of natural gas are still okay, but there's a lot of concern that they won't be in the future. So there's talk of importing natural gas. Well, how the heck do you import gas? Well, the way you do it is it comes in liquefied in tankers, I guess, and then is changed back to gas once it gets here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting process. I'm not too familiar with, but I understand what you're saying.
Right, and the thing here in this country is we need more processing facilities to turn that substance back into gas.
To re-vaporize it, so to speak.
Right, and you're going to have the NIMBYs saying, not in my backyard, so
right.
That's going to be difficult.
Right, that is a long-term thing, isn't it? And
right.
Of course, doesn't Russia have one of the largest natural gas reserves in the world?
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah, I think they do, and so I was trying to remember. I don't think you guys talked about where they might come in from. Some of those.
Well, we're saying Africa too.
Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I don't think of Africa so much as for natural gas. I know they got a lot of oil over there, but I guess
right.
Where you have oil, you also have natural gas. But that's an interesting thing. So the problem, the reason that this is an issue right now is just that. That it's not so much a matter of getting it into liquefied as much as it is how do we get it unliquefied when it gets over here.
Exactly.
And when we need that natural gas from those other countries, will we be prepared to take advantage of the liquefied?
Right. I mean, we have to start preparing now. We can't wait till we're at the point where we
right.
need it, because then it'll
right.
be too late.
Right. And so we need to get you out on the stump in these places where people don't want us to have these new... facilities, right?
Me? Yeah, I'm a little busy.
Joan, let's move over and talk about the economy. What's
right.
the news on the economy? Give us about 30 seconds on that.
Well, that some new jobs were created in August, so we think there's going to be a period of steadier hiring. And
how many?
And that poor consumer that's been running that marathon will get a second wind.
Right. Start buying again. 144,000 jobs, Joan. You said some. Let's go ahead and give them the number.
Right. It isn't a whole lot, because I think Bush's predictions was more like over 200,000 a month.
Right.
So it's well below that, but I guess people are still happy. It's better than nothing.
Well, better than the previous month of 32,000. So we might
right.
not like the number, but we like the trend, right?
Well, true, for now.
Hey, Joan.
Yes,
have
sir.
Have a great holiday.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll miss you.
Don't miss me too much now.
We will miss you. Thanks for
okay.
being here today, and we'll see you in about 3 weeks.
Thank you, Jim.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back. I will be too, right after, and well, actually tomorrow. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.